This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Joel Sherman and John Heyman, the baseball columnist for the New York Post, they have a new podcast out called The Show. It debuts today, as if Joel doesn't have enough work, but he's put this on his plate, and I'm sure it's going to be outstanding. Because nobody knows baseball like Joel and John. And Joel's going to join us right now. Joel from the New York Post, a longtime friend. I used to be a beat writer with him as well. Joel, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Mike. You know, this show with that I'm doing with our mutual friend John Heyman, it means a lot to us. We're trying to, you know this. You were a tremendous newspaper man, beat reporter in your day. It's hard to just do the newspaper anymore and think that there's going to be survival right there. And if you're not branching out and trying to exist on multiple platforms, you're going to have trouble surviving. So we're taking a shot at this, and hopefully we could bring some history, laughs, and expertise to this forum.
All right, let's tap into some of that expertise. We've been talking about this from the very beginning of the show. In your opinion, Joel, is this Yankee team for real? Because they're on the same pace as the 1998 team. Now, I covered that 98 team, broadcasted it, and I think that team was better. But do you see that team being close to being that good?
Yeah, I knew the 1998 Yankees. The 1998 Yankees were a friend of mine. These are no 1998 Yankees. I think one of the keys to this Yankee success, there's two things, one that they're not in control of and one that they are. The one that they're not in control of is, I think if we had this conversation 6 weeks ago, we would have thought the AL East was better than it has played for 6 weeks. And Mike, we're not at Memorial Day yet. So who knows? Maybe the Red Sox will be like the Celtics and, you know, not play well for the first third or half of the season, then get their act together and maybe be good enough to win a championship. But right now, the Yankees are the only team in the AL East that has a positive run differential. And it's the best run differential in the league. But they're not in control of the other teams. The thing they are in control of, and I would think is reminiscent of 1998 and 99, the two teams that I thought were the best teams in that, is if you remember those teams, they lacked weakness. There was nothing that they didn't do well. They were hard to exploit. When people say that the postseason is a crapshoot, I'm like, yes, it's very difficult to win championships. We just saw the team with the best regular season record in the NBA get humiliated in a game seven, not even get to the conference final in the Phoenix Suns. It's hard to win. The Dodgers, who are run great, have won one championship since 1988. The Yankees have won one since, have the last championship is in 2009. They're very well run. They're hard to win. But I think you make yourself more bulletproof through 162 games in the postseason by making yourself more diverse. Right. If you keep seeing the same play over and over again, if it's football, basketball or baseball, it's easier to defend and come up with strategy against. And the Yankees, especially on offense, were very one note, big, burly right hand hitters. And really, their pitching staff was all the same. Also, it was built on power, power and power. And I think that they've gotten more diverse. Are they a great defensive team? They are not a great defensive team, but they are two grades better than they were the last few years. Are they a great base running team? They are not a great base running team, but they're two grades better than the last few years. Plus, they're still hitting homers. Plus, their pitching is more diverse as far as not just being able to attack at the top of the zone, but if you notice, they're going down in the zone more, more ground balls. By the way, if you're getting more ground balls, Josh Donaldson and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa better be able to field those balls. For the most part, they have. And I just think that there's more ways for this team to, A, win, but just as important, not be exploited by other teams on the, oh, we could take advantage of this. They are harder to take advantage of.
And you just stumbled on something, Joel, that I didn't really even think about in assessing both the Mets and the Yankees is the rest of their division. The Mets are the only team above 500 in the National League East. Blue Jays off to a slow start when everybody had them pegged as the division champion. But then I think about the Braves last year. I think about the Nationals when they won and their slow starts. Can you see the Blue Jays, the Phillies, the Braves, you know, being what the Braves and the Nationals were a couple of years ago and still be contenders and still be threats to both of these teams?
Don, you should be afraid because we're like-minded, and I hate to do the double pump on the show with Joel Sherman and John Heyman, but we exactly – when we transitioned into talking about the Mets on our podcast today, I said, I hate to be redundant, but I think the Mets have a similar situation to the Yankees in that I do not think the NL East is as good as we thought it was 6 weeks ago. The Phillies' pathologies are their pathologies. They're going to hit very well. They're going to get good work from their rotation, but their defense, already bad, might be worse and worse for the whole year. If Bryce Harper can't get back in the field and your corner outfielders are Schwarber and Castellanos, that's not good. And their defense already was a problem. Their bullpen is a problem. What we thought was their problems are their problems. The Marlins are a little better, but I just don't see them getting to whatever the number is going to have to be to say, forget about being one of the six playoff teams. I still think to win the East, you're going to have to be 92 plus. The interesting question to your point, Don, is the Braves. The Braves, as late as 65 games last year, were 30-35. So they were stumbling about, but you know, you always had this feeling that they had talent there. Would they get their act together? I feel generally the same way about them this year as they're stumbling around, except for I'm wondering if they're having a little bit of a championship hangover and or they missed something about Freddie Freeman, because I watch them a lot and they have a lot of talent. And now this was probably true for the first 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 weeks last year when they didn't fire. They don't feel right. They don't look right when I'm watching them. The Mets are a more diverse team also. They're a little deeper. I worry about the depth once they'd have to sink into the minor league system for some pitching, especially if and when until Jacob DeGrom comes back. But to this point, it feels to me like 1 through 26, they're the most talented team in the division and the most complete and the one that's kind of like crossing the T's and dotting the I's, if we want to give Buck Showalter some credit. So I do think in both divisions have not played as well as I anticipated, say, on April 1st.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Do you think there's any leash on how long the Yankees can go about it this way? I mean, obviously it's going great right now. But, Joel, if they were to get to the playoffs and all of a sudden we see the bats die out again, and yet it's another season where they perform well during the regular season but tighten up during the playoffs, is there any point in which they abandon ship and say, you know what, this philosophy doesn't work for us?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. One, again, I'm sorry that I'm kind of like pump and dumping here on the podcast. You know, one of the things I mentioned on the podcast, we did a segment called Real Deal and Fool's Gold. And my fool's gold was Aroldis Chapman. I just think that the Yankees can have their season end at the end of an Aroldis Chapman pitch again. That's happened twice in the last few years. I think there are some disturbing trends for him. His strikeout rate, which was the second greatest in the history of the game last year, in history, is down to about 25%. Like last year, he's walking more than six guys per nine innings. There is this kind of, I'm sorry, I keep making basketball analogies, like Trae Young, Atlanta Hawk thing, which is when things are going great, he looks great. But like when he, like with the White Sox, when he, you know, got a fast runner on over the weekend and he gets punched, there's a little bit of bully to him. And when the bully gets punched back, he's not quite the same guy. And so the, you know, whatever they do during the regular season, if they want to use Clay Holmes as an attack dog, if Lois Seiger gets his act together, if this is really Michael King, it's fine, but they can't let that happen. But just to the bigger question, I think the way they're going is the way they have to continue to go. which is not to be one thing anymore. It's hard to win that way, the kind of games they want to win. And then it's hard to deal out and become more diversified as the game philosophically will keep changing. Like whatever going on with the baseball right now, you know, is that going to continue to go on where it's a dead baseball? Well, then it's a real great advantage to have guys like Stanton and Judge, because they could hit even a dead ball out. And you know, what's rare is valuable. So their value, even Aaron Judge's value, which is a big question all season, is only rising as it's tough to hit a home run this season. But I still think it's the right thing they've done by getting better general defense, better kind of tightening up, better base running, etc.
Talking with Joel Sherman of the New York Post. He has a new podcast out with John Heyman. It's called The Show. So you should look into that. It dropped today for the first time. You know, we were talking about this earlier as well. When the Yankees got Joey Gallo, it seemed to me, Joel, that so many teams wanted Joey Gallo. And I'm all in on analytics. I get it. I understand it. And it works. But I don't see the value of a guy who's going to strike out 240 times and hit 180. Do you think the Yankees have buyer's remorse, or is this the guy they wanted to acquire?
Yeah, you know, I believe, Mike, the day of that trade, there was only one person, at least in print, who panned the trade, and that was me. Mm-hmm. I felt like they were acquiring the left-handed Gary Sanchez, and they already had the right-handed one. They didn't need more of it. I knew enough about his background in Texas to wonder if that guy would be able to handle New York. I have not seen yet that he has. I wonder, you know, I make another analogy. Is he the hitting Sonny Gray? He'll be fine in other places, but it's just not going to work here great. And I think the one thing we know is, I guess anyone, especially he's a talented guy, could run into it. But to me, he's just not going to hit postseason pitching. And the Yankees' grand design is not just to be good for 162 games, but to figure out how to win, you know, 12 or 13 times, you know, 11 or 12 times or whatever the number of games are now with the extra round, the World Series. And I just wonder, like, what level of trust would you have with this player to take big at bats in October? Mine is very little to zero. And it makes me wonder if they're best served, because there probably are still a few teams out there that like him. Can you spin him somewhere and do something else for your outfield? That's very hard to do during a regular season. And I think generally the Yankees are a stubborn organization. You know, once they like a player, we've seen a lot of them run into the ground here and lose all their value. You know, the Sanchez's, the Miguel Andujar's, Clint Frazier, et cetera. I just think that they feel that this player brings something to the party. I'm missing what's going on at that party.
All right, very quickly before we let you go, does Judge remain a Yankee after this year?
I believe so, Mike. But I would have told you the same thing about Freddie Freeman 12 months ago, and that didn't work out. He means as much to the Braves, and the Braves won a championship with him. The one thing I would say is the Yankees offered a lot of money to him. You want to make an argument he deserves more? He made an argument. I'm not here to argue against it. But he means more to the Yankees, and you know this. You know, the advertising on the YES networks, is the Judge's chamber, the picture on the tickets, etc. Would any other team add a value to him beyond the playing value? I think the Yankees' offer in their mind was some of this, 90% of this is about the player, but 10% of it is us recognizing he has value to this organization. Will any other organization, as they bid for Aaron Judge, feel like he helps us sell tickets the same? We could advertise him the same. Is he the same level of star outside the Bronx, if it's San Francisco or even Queens or Boston, that he is in the Bronx? I think it works better for both sides if he stays, but I would never say never, less so after seeing Freddie Freeman leave the Braves.
Great stuff, Joel. We wish you the best of luck. It's called The Show. You can hear it today. It just, the first episode dropped today. Joel Sherman, John Heyman. And they're going to talk baseball, which is what they love and what they do best. So I wish you the best with the podcast, Joel.
Thanks, Mike. You know, I've learned to say things like listen to it on Apple, Spotify, and whatever the hell Stitcher is, or wherever you listen to your podcast, and rate and review. See, I've learned that, and I don't even have the card in front of me anymore.
There you go. So. Good luck.
What a professional. Thanks
so much for having me on, Mike.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Joel.
We were here too. That's all right.
1-800-919-3776. That's the number. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of what Joel just said right here on the K Show on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.